Avodah Zarah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, 3:3. Hamotzi Kalim, what if you find utensils? These are not idols per se, not a figurine, not a sculpture, but some other kind of kli, any kind of utensil, whatever it is. Va'aleim tsuras chama, tsuras levana, tsuras drakon. On the, whether let's call it the earring or the plate, we'll see in a second, there is an image of a symbol of the supposed god who controls the force of the sun or the moon, or the image of a dragon. The idea here is that we're not talking about like a circle with lines coming out of it, like a sun shape or the moon, like, you know, like the crescent moon shape. No, we're talking about a human form that represents the idol, the supposed god that is behind the sun and the moon. So in other words, in Greek mythology, we Helios for the sun, Selene for the moon. In Roman mythology, this is Roman times, probably more apropos, it's Sol and Luna. Same idea. The point is, you're seeing like an image of a person who's representing the power behind the sun, if you will. So the concern is, those things were used for worship, at least from time to time. And the Torah requires, of course, like we said in the previous Mishnayos, not only Isser Hana, you have to destroy these things, both the previous Mishnayos, things that are Isser Hana, and also now these other things as well, the same kind of, they have the same status, because we assume they're used for actual idolatry, for worship, and therefore the din is you have to destroy them. How do you destroy them? The pasuk says, the Mishnah says, Yolichem liyam hamelach. You throw them into the Dead Sea. The thought is that the Dead Sea is a place where people just can't get to the bottom of. No one's ever going across there. No one's going to recover these things. They're lost forever. Almost everyone learns that just means throw them in as they are, and they'll sink to the bottom. Rabbeinu Tam and the Bach, some others learn you have to actually grind it up and destroy it, or burn it, whatever it is, before they throw it, even like the ashes, if you will, into the, or the dust into the Dead Sea. Okay, but the Pasha says, throw it in as is. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Sha'al HaMechubadin Asurin, Sha'al HaMevuzin Mutarin. He says, it depends what kind of utensil we're talking about. If it's a mechubad, a valuable, respectable utensil, like an earring, like a necklace, so then we're afraid that is really connected to the idol proper. But if it's on something which is just an unimportant kind of buzzy utensil, it's a lowly utensil, like a pot, soup tureen, I don't know, you know, like a something like that, like it's on the dish. So the fact that there's an image of this idol, this human form, personification of this, the force behind the sun or the moon, so that's not something that's for decorative purposes, and therefore, according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel anyways, it would be mutarin, meaning it's mutar that you can get hana from it. I should speak out here. You're not allowed to have any of these things in your house. You couldn't even have it in your house, someone which is a picture of the sun or the moon, let alone these more idolatrous, like, you know, this supposed personification of the forces behind the sun and the moon. So you can't be shohei, you can't leave them in your house, but in your process of getting rid of them, you could get benefit from them. So if you decide to burn them, you could roast your marshmallows over them, or whatever it is, you could, yeah, and the like. Okay, now, the mission's not done. We say Rabbi Yossi is more lenient in terms of the method by which he prescribes that the suspected idolatrous object has to be destroyed. He says, Shochek v'zor l'ruach, o matil yam. You have two options. You could either grind it up and throw it to the wind, or you could throw it into the Dead Sea. Meaning, he holds that throwing it to the wind would be sufficient, whereas the Tanakhama says not. Why not? Because the concern is that, you know, if you grind it into dust and then throw it, so some of that dust, if you're talking about in an agricultural area where people are growing things, it will go into the soil and it'll participate in the soil, the earth in which your, you know, tomato patch, your tomatoes are growing in the tomato patch. And that'll be what's called ze veze gorem. Both the permitted soil and the forbidden dust combine to enable this tomato to grow. Meaning, for sure, we're not talking about a situation in which the tomato could have grown in just the dust of the idol itself. No, that's not the case here, but it contributed in terms of a little bit. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Zeveze Gorem is permitted. So it doesn't care if the dust ends up, you know, in someone's field. Whereas it's a minority, it's Batel Barov, and that's nothing. But the Chacham hold no, Zeveze Gorem is Usser, specifically in the context of Avodah Zarah, because the Pasuk, I read this two Pasukim before, but there's two separate Isurim, and the Pasuk, that comes from the context of the Ir HaNidachas, this whole city which turned to idolatry. So the pasuk says, "Lo yidbak biyadcha ma'uma min acherim," and that In fact, we have a second pasuk, and the pasuk specifies nothing at all. It tells you even zeveze gorms usar and they're machmir, so you can't even chase it, throw it into the wind. I guess if you're talking about a place where there's no agriculture, it'd be permitted. But here not. And therefore the Mishnah says, Amru lo, the rabbi said back to Rabbi Yossi, afu naase zevel. The thing is that your ground up dust will become fertilizer, if you will, to add to the soil where the tomatoes are growing, and that's forbidden. Shneamar, v'lo yidbak b'yadcha ma'uma menacherim. Now, the din is that you have to destroy avodah zara if it comes into your possession. You can, according to, it's actually machlokas in the post, if you have to grind it up first before you throw it into the Dead Sea. Now, as far as the zev zegorim issue, so here the chacham are being more strict, and they're saying that when it comes to idols, zev zegorim is usser. But that's because of this extra pasuk, which means that in other contexts we have an isser hana. Let's say, for example, the prohibition is getting benefit from chametz on Pesach. So there, you could just grind it up and throw it to the wind, because you haven't got the extra pasuk on chametz. So it's zev zegorim would be mutter if it happens to end up in the field somewhere.